Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A couple of armchair GMs who have yet to be wrong with any of their Timberwolves takes. Right. It's Flagrant Howls with Phil Mackey and Kyle Tighe.
Hello, sir. How's your offseason going so far?
Better than Ja Morant's and now Zion Williamson's. But
What's the latest on Zion? I've been in meetings, Bill, here.
A Twitter search of Zion Williamson will tell you that he's got multiple girlfriends, it appears to be.
Oh, okay.
And
as long as he still has two intact ACLs, I think Pelicans fans are breathing a sigh of relief.
There's a good Twitter thread on that wonderful app. One of the girlfriends refers to something as bedgammon, which is kind of like backgammon, but it sounds like activities for the bedroom. She's trying to get Zion back into shape. Get him on the floor, right? We want to see all these kids from the 2019 draft class playing and not in the club or, in this case, I don't know, on Pornhub. But anyway,
that would be a more creative way to, like, tear your knee up or whatever.
He's tearing something up. Anyway, offseason's going pretty well. What do we got to talk about today?
We're going to get to Kyle's question of the week. There's always a new batch of Karl Anthony Towns trade ideas from people that we may or may not have time for. But I think we need to acknowledge when an all-time great email comes in here to Flagrant Howls. So consider this. Phil and Kyle dive into the comment section and devote maybe most of the episode, if not all of it, to Andrew L's email. So Andrew sent in, and I'll just paraphrase here. He said, "Hey, love the show. Been listening to you guys for basically the whole year that we've been doing this podcast. And I've heard you guys refer jokingly to, at some point, maybe you'll name the 100 top Timberwolves of all time. Andrew L has done this. He sent over a full spreadsheet of his top 100 Timberwolves of all time, including, I'm looking at the columns here. This is legendary, dude. Andrew, like, round of applause for you. What devotion to the Timberwolves and to the show here, to the brand, Flagrant Howls. So he's got the top 100 Timberwolves, how many seasons they played for the team, how many games they played, how many games they started, how many minutes per game they averaged, rebounds per game, assists, steals, blocks, points, how many all-star game appearances with the Timberwolves, and additional info in text form. And he has gone 1 through 100. And I think we should go through the entire list on this podcast.
I love it.
Is that overkill?
No, I can't. When you tweeted that out on Tuesday or whatever it was, there was a lot of people, myself included, that's like, I don't know if I could name 100 Timberwolves players. And like, I kind of jokingly said this, but like, is Josh Minot like on it? Probably not, but he should be. And then if you look online, I mean, I think we should, how do you want to start this? Because I found a pretty good top 10 Timberwolves of all time. Do you want to start at the top or do you want to finish at the top?
I think we finish at the top.
Okay, cool.
Because I think, well, I mean, there's no drama at the very top.
I do not have this list, so you are going to surprise me with what's going on here.
And it's not, I would pop it up on the screen, but it's literally just kind of like the formatting. He has a Mac, I don't, so the formatting is kind of weird. It wouldn't be a good visual here. And our graphics team just couldn't quite put together a graphics package in time for this, for the YouTube audience. But for the podcast audience, it's not going to matter anyway. So the top 100 Timberwolves, by the way, presented today by our friends at Power Lodge and Miller Marine, Kyle. I bet they didn't think they were signing up for this type of an exclusive sponsorship. But Power Lodge and Miller Marine, it's a marriage of throttle therapy between fun on the land, fun on the water. If you're looking to enjoy some time with friends and family on a brand new Bennington pontoon, for instance, when the temperatures hit 88 last week, Power Lodge and Miller Marine said, all right, let's fire up the 88 sale, a Bennington pontoon for $28,888. And also, if you want something a little larger, like a tri-tune, I didn't even know that was a thing, but $43,888. And whatever else you may need, they've got it with over 300 pontoons in stock. Power Lodge, with locations in Brainerd, Onamia, and Ramsey, Miller Marine in St. Cloud, powerlodge.com, millermarine.com. Let's do this. I'll go in chunks of 10 here for you.
Got it.
So we'll count from 100 to 91.
Okay.
And again, this is a subjective list from Andrew. He's got the 100th best player. This is prestigious. The 100th best player in Timberwolves history. The cap filler in the Kevin Garnett trade, Theo Ratliff.
Oh, wow. Okay. This list is going to be awesome.
Theo Ratliff. Number 99, Luka Garza.
He was active in the Minneapolis community this past weekend. I had multiple friends send me a photo once of seeing him at Canterbury.
Wow.
Another one, is it Cowboy Jacks? I might be dating myself here.
Yeah, yeah.
Or aging myself. But yeah, Luka Garza, top 100 Timberwolf of all time. I mean, that just tells you in and of itself that this list is insane.
Well, and if we're counting, quite frankly, if we're counting G League performance, I think Luka Garza should be even a couple notches higher here.
Yeah, maybe like top 12.
Number 98, Cherokee Parks.
Okay.
One of the legendary mediocre big men from my childhood. 97, Dante Cunningham.
Mm.
And some of the notes here are great. I'm just going to read some of Andrew L's notes. So for Dante Cunningham, he says Luke Baamute 2.0. And then number 96 is Luke Baamute.
Yeah, Dante Cunningham, famous for wearing a headband, kind of gave you a little Jared Vanderbilt. He was like an older school Jared Vanderbilt, but rebound, play a little defense. Same with Luke Baamute. Like, couldn't really shoot, couldn't really spell his name, but both kind of the same type of player. So, okay, keep going.
Okay, number 95, Spud Webb. Remember Spud Webb? Spud Webb, legendary dunk contest performance was it the Hawks in the late 80s?
I think it was the Hawks, yeah.
Yeah, and he did spend 5 minutes with the Timberwolves. 94, Nemanja Bjelica. 93, Chase Budinger.
Oh, yeah.
If not for the knee problems, he was probably better at volleyball than basketball. But number 92, Jordan McLaughlin. Number 91, Mike James. Tell me what I do bad. What do I do bad?
Mike James was a really fun backup point guard to use in the old NBA games on PlayStation. Because he could shoot a little threes. He had a low salary, so shout out to Mike James. But okay, those are 10 recognizable names, I think, for anyone who is a Wolves fan kind of in our age bracket. So far, so good.
Yep, Mike James, I remember, so I was working at KFAN Radio, what was this, 2006, whenever they acquired him? Because they were trying to put pieces around Kevin Garnett. He played with Kevin Garnett for a minute, right?
Yep.
It was like Ricky Davis and Mike James.
Yep.
It was their last-ditch effort to put a roster around KG before they traded him. And Chad Hartman was doing the interview with him. He gets acquired by the Wolves, and Hartman was kind of pressing him on a couple of things about his play. And he's like, what do I do bad? Tell me what I do bad on the court. Chad's like, I mean, you're Mike James, man. Number 90, Irvin Johnson.
Oh, yeah, yep. Not that Irvin Johnson.
No, the other Irvin Johnson that probably set the record for most knee braces worn at a single time in an NBA game. Antoine Walker, 89. Remember
he gave you a little shuffle, a little shimmy.
Number 88, a former top 5 overall pick for the Wolves that was used as trade bait, Danielle Marshall. They traded him for Gugliotta, I believe.
Yep.
Number 87, James Johnson.
Couple of years James ago. Johnson. Yeah. Okay. Black, famous multi black belt. Still in the league. I think he plays for the Pacers, but yeah, kind of one of those. The closest thing the Wolves maybe had to a Haslam, a culture setter guy, not afraid to rough it up on and off the court.
Number 86, the 5 games of Brandon Roy.
Those were really good. Sorry.
85, Gerald Green. 84, Change Your Face, Alexi Shved. 83, Jalen Noel. I'm going to get to 81 here. 82, Nikhil Alexander Walker. And 81, rest his soul, man, Eddie Griffin.
Okay. Nikhil Alexander Walker making this list is just another reminder of what this fan base has gone through. Nikhil's been here for 4 weeks. So 82.
Yes. Andrew, I'm just going to check our text thread because we actually had an off-the-record bet here on somebody. What did you say? Let me see here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You said, I can't wait to see who is like number 91.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Josh Minot? So 91 was Mike James. I said, I'll guess 91 is Dean Garrett. I undersold Dean Garrett because he's number 80 on this list.
Wow. Dean Garrett. I'm full transparency, 34 years old, kind of remember the Wolves came into my life when Garnett takes them to the Western Conference Finals, maybe a couple of years before that. But like a Dean Garrett, I would have to look him up because I don't think I could pick him out of. Okay, big guy.
Yeah, he was a really good college player. I think he developed some like big guy knee problems, I want to say. Played for the Clippers for a while, I want to say. And then he used to go to Timberwolves games after he retired. He would just sit like near courtside and be hanging out with his gigantic 7-foot legs at Wolves games. By the way, a note on Eddie Griffin, he holds the franchise record for blocks per game with 1.8.
Wow.
The more you know.
If Rudy Gobert can't steal that record, then the trade is a failure.
Yeah, come on, guy. Rudy, you can't surpass Eddie Griffin in blocks per game. Okay, we're on a big man run here, a legendary big man run. Number 79, Luke Longley. Number 78, Felton Spencer.
Felton, yep, okay.
Number 77, Wayne Ellington.
Make it Wayne.
Number 76, I feel like this is a little low for this guy, Fred Hoiberg. Franchise record 46% from downtown because he was just always wide open with Cassell and KG on the court.
Okay.
Josh Okogie, 75. Shabazz Muhammad, 74. Michael Olowokandi, 73. Roshan Osterovich, 72. Mark Blunt, 70. Dude, the graveyard of big men here is Blunt, Osterovich, Olowokandi, Felton Spencer, Luke Longley.
This is great for my Cole Aldrich top 30 prediction.
Oh, maybe. Trying to look at some of these notes here. So Michael Olowokandi is one of six number one overall picks in the Timberwolves top 100.
Wow. Hey, again, just massive shout out. This list is not only fantastic, but great to put the research into it. This is why I believe this is the best fan base and best pod right now going.
Andrew, you're officially one of our co-hosts. You are the third guy right now. Yeah, any list you want to send over. Yeah. You run the company now, Andrew. Congratulations. Mark Blunt was traded with Ricky twice. So Ricky Davis, I'm assuming he was included in two Ricky Davis trades.
Yep.
And then we get to number 70 here. So 70 through 61, Craig Smith.
Oh, the Rhino.
That's right. The Rhino.
The Rhino.
I actually was a huge Craig Smith stan for like a half season. I thought, yes, this guy, he had like a 10-foot range where he was.
The Wolves,
I wouldn't say lights out.
The Wolves probably, I mean, this is the graveyard of big men was a great way to put it. The Wolves, in my opinion, being biased, have so many undersized, stocky, big, rough and tough power forwards that could like shoot mid-range. And yes. Craig Smith would be like the, you know, the face of all those guys that have cycled through this franchise.
Well, what there's, number an, was there's a, actually Smith? Another one. What was that?
What number was Craig Smith?
70.
Okay, we're moving.
And there's more big men in here. Mark Madsen, 69.
Nice.
Top five nickname in team history. Pissed off Tim Duncan enough to get him a tech. And then one time jacked 7 threes in a game in which the Wolves sat KG for tanking reasons. Number 68, Derek Williams, the former number 2 overall pick. God.
Drafted the same year as Jimmy Butler.
Number 67, Dario Saric. 66, okay. Anthony Tolliver. Two really good solid stints for Anthony Tolliver on this team. 65, Juancho Hernan Gomez. 64, another top 5 overall pick, Wes Johnson.
Oh.
62, he fits the category you were describing, which is like rumble, tumble, big men. Gary Trent, senior.
Yep.
And number 61, I thought he might crack the top 50, but Rashad McCants.
Oh.
Number 61.
That's well, honestly, he was a part of that. I grew up a Tar Heels fan, so they had that.
Oh, I missed Darko Milicic at 63, by the way.
Okay. So, we'll get back to him. But yeah, McCants came out with like, I think he was like the Raymond Felton, Sean May, like that really awesome Tar Heels team that won a championship. So then when they got McCants, I was like, I mean, I probably was making some weird Kobe T-Mac comps. Just, I mean, because he kind of had everything you'd want offensively. But, man, mentally and kind of off the court, that guy. I think he dated our Kardashian at some point. But
He dated Chloe, right?
Yeah. Go back to what number was Darko? Because that one is – that was one of the
– Darko was 63. And the note here from Andrew says, apparently better than Chris Webber, according to David Kahn. Remember that awkward confrontation at, I think, Summer League on NBA TV?
Yeah. Darko – I mean, the Darko thing. It's – this team, like half – two-thirds of their top 100 is just – old big guys that like needed a paycheck. They're like, we'll come play for you for a little bit.
Okay, I just Googled here. Yeah, you're right. So Rashad McCants did date Khloe Kardashian. This is way back in the day.
Yep.
And, oh man, there's a Bleacher Report feature about this from 5 years ago. The headline is, former NBA player Rashad McCants thinks Khloe Kardashian hurt his pro career.
At least he didn't blame the Timberwolves.
He's lashing out at the Kardashians. Okay, let's get to the top 60 here.
Okay.
And again, if you are still with us here 15 minutes into this podcast, the top 100 Timberwolves of all time, thank you for still being here as we count down. We're almost halfway. Number 60, Martell Webster.
Oh.
Dude, I liked him as a player, and I think he was a top five overall pick at 1.2. But there was a game in which the Wolves were down by 3 points, and he went for a layup as time expired.
Yep, I was just trying to look that up. He he was, again, just, you know, in this Chase Buttinger. I'm sure there's a Mike Miller addition in this top 100 list, but they just tried to bring in all these wings, and when they got here, they were successful in other places, and then they got here, and they just couldn't shoot. Like, or they just wouldn't shoot, or in Martell Webster's case, he just had no basketball IQ in big moments. I think he came here from Portland. I was like, I really like that move, and just added to the list of things that didn't work out.
Yeah. Okay. Number 59, Ryan Gomes. He was part of the Kevin Garnett trade to Boston. Just a good role player.
He would have been, Ryan Gomes would have made a lot of money in modern day basketball. Can shoot some threes, play defense. He would have been on a lot of winning teams.
Yeah. You could see him like as the second guy off the bench for the Heat or something, or you could just see him as a versatile 3-and-D wing player. 58, Terry Porter. They brought him in. They brought him in as at the start of the KG era as kind of just a good veteran point guard, kind of backup. He might have started some games too. Actually, he did, because Andrew has those stats. 246 games, 68 starts. His real time was with the Blazers. And I think he was the starting point guard next to Clyde Drexler on that NBA Finals team that got beat by the Bulls. But a good veteran. 57, Anthony Peeler, one of the best three-point shooters in team history. 56, RIP, Malik Sealy. 55, Mike Miller, just refused to shoot threes.
And he was a part of that period of Timberwolves basketball that had the worst jerseys of all time. Like, if you just Google Mike Miller Timberwolves, like, I don't know who designed those. I think it was Adidas, but they were terrible. But there he is. I knew he'd be on the list.
Number 54 in the notes, it says, a man who dropped 50 points for no reason one time, Mo Williams.
Love that. Love that, man. That was one of the best nights. Not really NBA Twitter at that moment, but NBA Twitter would have loved just a random Tuesday where Mo Williams on the 20-62 Timberwolves is just going for it.
Randomly, yes. 53, Chauncey Billups. 52, Randy Foy. 51, Joe Smith.
Okay, Chauncey Billups and Randy Foy seem a little high. Like, I felt they'd be more up the list, so I don't know what the top 50 is going to bring us, but okay.
And maybe it's better than, because
it might be better than I think.
I have not combed through this. I've obviously seen the top few and the bottom few, but I guess if you would have said, just without thinking, is Joe Smith one of the 50 best players in Wolves history, despite all the jokes about the end of the Taylor? He averaged 10 points, 6 rebounds, was a starting player on like 51 teams that went to the playoffs, right? But he's 51. And now we get to the top 50. We're halfway home here. I'll go 50 through 41. Actually, I'm going to go in five player chunks so you can like pick one out and break them down or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So 50 through 46, Trenton Hassell, Troy Hudson, Taurean Prince, J.J. Barea, and Jared Vanderbilt.
Wow. Okay. This I thought we would have more really old school names in this top 50, but this is bringing me lots of joy. I don't know who I would pick on specifically. I think the Wolves brought in Barea maybe after his Mavs stint, which was another kind of Wolves thing, right? Like someone went and won a ring and now they just are looking for a paycheck. And
couldn't stand that guy as a player. He drove me nuts. JJ Barea's problem was he thought he was the best player on the court for the 23 minutes he would get out there. I've never seen a guy reject himself on the underside of the rim or backboard more often than JJ Barea. Just consistently like would dribble into the trees and then fling up a dumb shot.
Think about like, and I don't know if I have these timelines right, but I think he was running backcourt sets with like Ricky Rubio or Luke Ritten. I mean, they just put all these guys out there. It's like when you watch modern day basketball, like how did they defend anyone? And they didn't because they lost a lot of games. But Trenton Hassel probably should be higher. That's just like a take that I have off the top of my head because he was really, again, a 3-and-D guy that today would have been making a ton of money. But I defer to the list and keep it moving.
Yeah. So one note on Troy Hudson, one of the most legendary performances in Wolves history, that playoff game against the Lakers in 2002. And then actually my friend Tom Pelissero, who's at NFL Network now, we've always had a running. We've been like just anytime we see that we used to play the Troy Hudson shut him down on our radio show like 12 years ago. And he texted me a photo. He found a Troy Hudson CD from, I don't know, like 20 years ago this week. So Troy Hudson, everybody. 44, Corey Brewer, another guy that dropped 50 points out of nowhere, 6-year career with the Timberwolves. 43, Luke Ridnour. 42, Jamal Crawford. 41, Taj Gibson. 40, Gorgie Dieng.
Okay. Again, I will just say that as anyone who's still listening to this, the fact that there are 39 better players than Gorgie Dieng. I mean, Gorgie Dieng, I know we make fun of his slow mechanics or whatever, but he was a pretty good player. Now, granted, I think he was drafted like a couple picks before like Giannis or whatever, but he was, I mean, a fantastic man off the court with his philanthropy and stuff, but a good, you know, extended his range a little bit. I don't know how Corey Brewer is this low. Again, I was kind of looking at this Bleacher Report one, and him and Troy Hudson, Terry Porter, they're all in the top 25. So this list might revolutionize how we look at the Timberwolves. But and then Taj Gibson, where was this? I was on Basketball Reference. He is the all-time effective field goal percentage leader and just field goal percentage leader at 57%. I mean, he was just in the dunker spot, cleaning it up, had that really famous defensive possession in game 82 in the corner. So yeah. Taj Gibson, legend.
Yeah, he was. I love Taj Gibson, man. Just a hard-nosed leader. He's got some like Udonis Haslam qualities to him, right?
Yeah.
Just a culture guy. By the way, I just emailed you the spreadsheet. So when you open it, so you can kind of see what's coming. There's like a bunch of tabs at the bottom because Andrew sorted this with a summary and then by point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. What's HM? HM. Oh my God, he's got honorable mentions. Honorable mentions. There's an honorable mentions tab. We'll get to the honorable mentions at the end, okay?
Yep.
And then the top 100 tab, which you'll see, okay?
Okay.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Oh, dude, okay.
Andrew L., you are amazing. Okay, so number 40, Gorgie Dieng. 39, Naz Reid. 38, Pat Bev. 37, Jeff Teague. 36, Derrick Rose.
Yeah. And, you know, this is where an older Timberwolves fan might push back at like throwing Derrick Rose this high over
Terry
like,
Porter would be higher than like Jeff Teague for me personally. But
yeah, so there's a little recency bias here. But again, I just want to defend this list. When you see the additional information, the tabs, the honorable, I mean, this list was well thought out. So there might be some differences with the listeners. I would agree that Derrick Rose probably falls a little lower, but was Derrick Rose is in that list too of guys that dropped 50, right? Like just kind of had a cup of coffee with the Wolves, dropped 50. So, and those Derrick Rose, I mean, he has a lot of off the court stuff too, but those Derrick Rose seasons were fun because growing up, he was one of the best players we were watching. And for him to have, you know, two seasons with the Wolves was kind of fun.
35, Tyus Jones. This is the first one I really strongly disagree with. 34, Malik Beasley. I can't put Malik Beasley anywhere near the top 35. No. He's not better than Naz Reid. This is Andrew. I'm going to slap you on the back of the hand here. He's certainly not more meaningful than Taj Gibson or Gorgie Jang or Corey Brewer. Like, I know he averaged a hollow 20 points for a half season, his first chunk of time here, but Malik Beasley is a one-dimensional, bad overall basketball player.
Yeah, one of the most, like, memeable basketball players, just with everything that he had kind of going off the court. But, yeah, there's the Corey Brewer stuff. Like, he's got to be way higher than a Malik Beasley, who, again, he wasn't even here that long. Only had, like, I think three seasons.
And Trent Hassel, too. Like, Trent right. Hassel is probably a top 30 Timberwolf of all time.
Long story short, Malik Beasley is not a top 50 Timberwolves player of all time, so we'll redo that for next year's list.
And of course, now we're just like poking holes in free content that was sent to us from
there are some names here. I mean, this is well thought out. So that was 34.
33, Zach LaVine won the dunk championship when he was here. 32, AK-47, Andre Kirilenko, the hall pass. 31, we have a tie here, or did he misnumber these? 31, okay, he's got two 31s. Michael Beasley. Oh, man, he's way too high. And Thad Young. And the number 30 is Rocco, Robert Covington.
Oh, the Michael Beasley note of MPJ before MPJ for Michael Porter Jr. That is, we might have to have Andrew on the pod. Like, that is a really good way to describe Michael Beasley. I really thought that was going to be, because Michael Beasley is still a bucket. Like, he was awesome. He just didn't even care about defense at all. It was an absolute black hole. But I would just, looking at that list, Andre Kirilenko is one of, like, I might have a type, but he was one of my favorite kind of guys that came through the system for a year or two, because he, again, modern day, like, he would have been perfect on, like, a Warriors team. He was kind of a Draymond in the sense that he was, like, a five-tool guy. And I'm not looking at the top 20 yet, but Zach LaVine being 33 seems kind of low, but maybe I'm just...
It's Timberwolves Zach LaVine, so
that's true.
And obviously, like, Bulls Zach LaVine would be a top five player in Timberwolves history.
Well, the note that he said that three seasons, I guess my brain is so warped. I thought Zach LaVine would just played more seasons for the Wolves. So three seasons, that makes sense.
All right, number 29, one of the jankiest jump shots you'll see, but effective, Kevin Martin. 28, Ricky Davis once shot on his own basket for a triple-double. That was with the Cavs, though. He would not dare do that in front of Kevin Garnett. 27, Tyrone Corbin. That's from way back, 30 years ago. Speaking of, Pooh Richardson. He was like the first popular Timberwolves player, I feel like. Pooh Richardson. And then Rudy Gobert, number 25. So Kevin Martin, Ricky Davis, Tyrone Corbin, Pooh Richardson, and Rudy Gobert. Get us to the top 25.
Ricky Davis, I think you can correct me on this. I think he's a coach, like a high school basketball coach for, like, Minneapolis North. I don't know. There was an article from February in the Star Tribune. I think he's, like, living in Minnesota coaching. So that's kind of fun. Rudy Gobert being top 25. I mean, from just a talent standpoint, that he's easily one of the, as you go through this list, probably one of the top 25 most talented players to ever play here. Yeah. I don't know a lot about Tyrone Corbin. Pooh Richardson, that makes sense. I mean, my dad is a little more familiar with him, and he was like, he was just way better than you kids remember.
Yeah, he was 15 points, 8 assists, and 3.5 rebounds a game as a point guard for the Wolves.
Good stuff. Okay.
Okay, now we're into the top 25 here. So Gobert is 25, Christian Laettner 24.
Okay.
It's a tough one. It's tough because he's got J.R. Ryder 23. I think Leitner's got to be a little higher, but Leitner was also toxic and locker room kind of poison guy. Nikola Pekovic, 22. Kyle Anderson, 21. Is Kyle Anderson probably the 21st best player in Timberwolves history?
Kyle Anderson hasn't lived in Minneapolis for 12 calendar months, and he's he's in the top 25.
Fringe top 20 player of all time, Wolves history. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, how many players behind Kyle Anderson would you die on a hill for being... Like, if I get that he's only been here for a season, but if you gave Kyle Anderson 3 years of this production, yeah, he's... Yeah. I don't know. He's probably a little too high, but... Okay, number 20, Doug West, one of the OG 90s Timberwolves.
Longest tenured Timberwolf so far that we've discussed. Everyone else had played probably five seasons or less. Doug West played nine seasons for Minnesota.
Like two different stints, I want to say. Number 19, your guy, D'Angelo Russell. Number 18, Jaden McDaniels.
Okay, that's a good spot to pause. Let's do this on the fly. Is D'Angelo Russell a top 20 Timberwolves player of all time? Two playoff series.
Yes, he probably
was associated with. Didn't actually pick the ball out, right? But he was. There's that famous image of him being the one when they won the lottery, and he was fist pumping.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to marinate on that, but I think 19 is probably right. Because there's a lot of point guards we listed that scored 50 points or did some stuff, but those were all just like in such bad seasons. And D'Angelo Russell has his flaws, but he did kind of contribute to winning basketball in a sense. So, okay, yep. 19, so and then Jaden at 18. I get that one.
On the D'Lo front, there's a few components in play here. If you just look at the numbers, so 4 years with the Timberwolves or parts of 4 years, 18.5 points, 6.5 assists, good shooter, like just a good solid player. And was a major catalyst for bringing the Wolves back to the playoffs for two consecutive seasons.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of shortcomings, and we've exhausted those. But I think that resume alone, and parts of four seasons, so there's a little bit of longevity with a franchise that doesn't have many guys that played parts of four seasons at a high level. I would say all those things equal, with this franchise, one of the 20 best players in team history. Yes.
And again, Andrew, whoever is your employer, reach out to Phil, because you deserve a raise and a promotion. Because again, not only is this a top 100 list, but then he obviously broke it down by position. So if you go to that point guard tab, the way that broken this down, he would have, for the listeners, D'Angelo Russell as the sixth best point guard in Timberwolves history. And as I look at that list, Phil,
yeah,
I think he's right.
and we're going to get to the other guys here as part of the top. Let's see, where are we at here? We're at 18, Jaden McDaniels, 17, Mike Conley.
Well, okay, so that's
24
wrong.
Games of Mike Conley. Is it?
You got to have bias.
Do you?
You got to have Jaden McDaniels ahead of Mike Conley. I think Jaden McDaniels is probably in the top 15 Timberwolves of all time. Again, that's a fair. Very low bar, but okay.
Yeah, because defense alone, right? He's one of the best defensive players in the league. Jaden McDaniels is. So I agree. Okay, 16, another OG Timberwolf. 21 points on the down low here, at least for younger fans. Tony Campbell, 21 points a game back in the day.
Did you see, sorry to go back one, did you see the Mike Conley note? He goes, I put him this high just because he hit those three free throws against the Lakers. So actually, you know what? Okay, fine. Mike Conley, 17, Jaden, 18. Tony Campbell, I don't want to look at, I don't really, it's he, his note is low key bucket. I don't really remember Tony Campbell.
He was like a combo guard from, I think he was on the original Timberwolves in the late 80s. But he was, he played, I think, when they were at the Metrodome still before Target Center was built. I vaguely remember him with Pooh Richardson as a kid because I was born in like 1985. So Ricky Rubio, 15. Is Ricky Rubio one of the 15 best Timberwolves of all time?
Yeah,
probably has to be, right?
If we're doing this, I mean, Andrew has all the stats, but if we're doing this based on like whole thing, there wasn't, again, this franchise is such a dumpster, but there were not many moments that were more exciting than like when Ricky landed at the airport, right? And all those fans showed up. Like that was still in like not a lot of social media at the time, but this long-haired teenager from Spain comes over, puts on the hat. Like that was top 15 for sure. That's locked.
Okay. 14 and 13. I just want to, I literally want to stand up here and applaud Andrew. You did the right thing here.
Yep.
And most Timberwolves fans, and it sounds like you agree with me, most Timberwolves 100%. Fans don't do this, but he has Stephon Marbury 14th and Terrell Brandon 13th. And that is correct in my opinion.
Correct.
Marbury was flashier. Marbury was the, what could have been point guard, right? He was just more highly touted, probably had just better skill set, everything. But Terrell Brandon was the better player and the better fit. It's a little like Mike Conley, D'Angelo Russell, where, yeah, one guy's a little flashier and a little bit maybe drafted higher, whatever, but the other guy is just more of a professional and a consistent presence. Terrell Brandon was a really good underrated player and was a better fit for this team than Marbury. I agree with this.
Yeah, I would say Terrell Brandon was kind of when I was getting warmed up with, as a Wolves fan, probably one of the most just underrated, right, Timberwolves players of all time. So
yep,
not exactly in the top 10, but 13 seems fair.
Number 12, Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to make, well, I don't so know tough. If he can get into top 10.
The note here says, wish I could put him lower.
go to 11 and 10, because I don't think he would replace 10 on the list.
Mitchell, 11. Okay. Sam Mitchell's one of, like, the guiding hands in organization history, right? He's been this veteran sort of sixth man, two different stints, coach.
10 seasons with the Wolves.
Yep. And then Latrell Sprewell is 10th. So we've now emerged into the top 10.
So Latrell Sprewell played two seasons. I mean, this is where you start to get a little nitpicky.
Do you value longevity versus...
Yeah. And
Sprewell's,
like,
a better player, but Wiggins played three times as many seasons.
Yeah. And, like, obviously Sprewell was associated with, you know, the highest kind of achievement of this team. So
yeah,
probably don't nitpick there. But yeah, I mean, going back to that top 15, like, Rubio and Wiggins have to be top 15 Timberwolves players of all time. So I would agree with that. But okay, now the top 10.
All right. 10, Sprewell. 11, Al Jefferson.
9.
I'm sorry, 9. What did I say? Sorry, 10, Sprewell. 9, Al Jefferson.
Yep.
Big Al was on an island, man. Like, he didn't have – that was one of the darkest periods in Wolves history. And he was a good player, man. He was a 20 and 10 guy, great footwork. So, Jefferson, number 9.
Great locker room guy, too. But, like, everyone in the organization loved him. But he was just one of those athletes. And this is in football, baseball, whatever. Like, you just could throw him in a decade earlier, and he might have, you know, the Wilt Chamberlain memes. Like, Al Jefferson playing against dudes in the 70s would have had 40 and 25. He was elite with his footwork, but his inability to stretch the floor as it became kind of a thing. And then he had no interest in the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, he was him and Ryan Gomes and a couple cupcakes and a draft pick for Garnett. Not great. That's why I will go to my grave. The Rudy Gobert trade is not the worst trade of all time, because we all lived through the Garnett trade and they got next to nothing. They got guys who had a pulse, but what needle did Al Jefferson move?
Yeah, and they bounced back from the Kevin Garnett trade 15 years later. Okay, number 8, Tom Gugliotta. Now, we've gotten to our first all-star here, by the way, on this list. Tom Gugliotta. Great. Well, just versatile. He could pass. He had that mid-range little sort of fadeaway jump shot. Just a really – so Tom Gugliotta kind of came along, and then KG – they made the Daniel Marshall Gugliotta trade, and KG was drafted. Googs was, for a minute there, the best player on the Wolves' first playoff team, if I remember correctly. And then KG and Marbury kind of took the... And by the way, Gugliotta and Marbury hated each other, and that's why Gugliotta demanded a trade. It went to the Suns. But then I think they wound up playing together in Phoenix, too, at one point.
I don't know. That would have been... I wish that NBA Twitter would have existed during the Gugliotta-Marbury days.
Yeah. Number 7, Sam Cassell.
Yeah, I mean, again, that would make him the best point guard in Timberwolves history on our list.
Yeah.
Also a one-time All-Star with Minnesota, but I mean, how do you? Even though he only played two seasons here, like, there's not
the impact that he had.
Rubio, there's not even a debate. He was the best point guard in franchise history.
And I get that it's just like we'll never know, but if he doesn't get hurt, I think the Wolves beat the Lakers in 6 or 7 games in the Western Conference Finals, and then. Do they beat the Pistons then in the NBA Finals? But I think Sam Cassell's injury may have prevented the Wolves, crazy as it sounds, from winning a championship in 2004. Wally Szczerbiak, 6.
You seem to remember Wally a little more than I do. I've got a couple posters in my childhood bedroom still, but
good, like, player.
Just give me the okay. Yeah, 7 seasons. Didn't made I think one All-Star appearance, but not with Minnesota. Like, well, just give me kind of the rundown on what you remember of Wally.
Actually, it was with Minnesota, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure
was it? Okay. Yeah.
So Wally was a good spot-up shooter, not a good ball handler, dribbler, did not play a lot of defense, but just a good scorer. Like, he could get to the rim. He had a great three-point shot. I don't know that I would put – I get longevity. I don't know that I would put him above Sam Cassell here. I think Cassell – I actually think Gugliotta would be above Zerbiak here too. Mm-hmm. So I've got Zerbiak a little closer to – he's definitely a top 10 Timberwolf. I've got him a little closer to the backside. And then I'm going to rattle off the top five just in succession here so you can break it down. These are the top five Timberwolves of all time according to Andrew L. via email, the greatest email we've ever received in the one-year history of this show. Anthony Edwards is the fifth best Timberwolf ever. Cat is 4, Kevin Love 3, Jimmy Butler 2, Kevin Garnett, obviously, the greatest Wolf of all time.
Those five are, in my opinion, and I think you're going to agree, undeniable. Like, those are the five. That is your five-man, whatever, starting lineup of all times Timberwolves players. I mean,
could you make that starting lineup work, by the way? Could you run KG, Kevin Love, and Cat out? Prime? Kevin Love playing the three.
Yeah, because I think Ant could play a little point. Ant Jimmy backcourt is, you know, tops.
Dude,
in the
KG
league.
He could run some point too.
And then KG, if he could play at the three, I mean, I know we're getting
Cat
traditional.
Cat at the five, Love at the four, KG at the three.
That team would not have a problem rebounding. You know, the teams would probably try to pull Garnett out to the perimeter because he's really the only guy blocking shots or protecting the rim. But that team would shoot and score. Defense, they might give up some points. But, yeah, a prime Kevin Love and a prime Karl-Anthony Towns on the same kind of thing. I'm trying to look at this list, and Garnett, as Andrew puts it, don't overthink it, number one, not even close. I think Jimmy is probably two. I mean, from a talent standpoint, they really had they had Jimmy Butler, like, in his, I wouldn't say prime, I guess. He's in the finals right now, but damn near close. But do you think Kevin Love over Karl-Anthony Towns? I know we criticized
similar
Carl, but Carl at least got to the playoffs twice.
I think you got to put Cat above Kevin Love.
I do too.
But it'll be interesting now that we've kind of seen Love's career play out. And how he's really assimilated as that third guy, or now he's just like a gadget guy. What does the next act of Cat's career look like? But yeah, Cat's peak is better than Love's peak, even though, well, but you could argue that Love statistically, because Love had a couple of years where I don't have his numbers in front of me. It was like 24 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists or something. So they're both, I think they're similar in that they're both stat stuffing big men. Crazy box scores that don't translate to team wins as the leader of a franchise. So, but then, I probably would put Cat above Kevin Love.
Would you have Cat and Kevin Love ahead of Ant, who came in at 5?
I think so, for now.
Just off of longevity, because Carl and Cat played 6 or 8 and 6 years respectively. But yeah, I mean, that's that. First of all, again, Andrew, thank you. That was the best list of all time.
Wow. You want the honorable mentions?
The honorable mention tab is just grab me a beverage.
He's got 30 plus honorable mentions. I'm just going to speed through these because we don't need to stop on these, and we can, anything else that we would get to will still be fine. We can talk next week. The finals might be over. We might have more trade rumors, but I'm just going to rattle off the honorable mentions that did not quite crack the top 100. Ryan Hollins, your guy Cole Aldrich, Kosta Kufos, Greg Monroe, Michael Doliak, Alexei Petrov, Calvin Booth, Adrian Payne, Nate Knight, Brian Cardinal, Jordan Hill, Josh Howard, Luol Deng, Kata Bates Diop, Quincy Lewis, Tayshaun Prince, Jake Lehman, Lance Stevenson, Sasha Pavlovich, Austin Rivers, Glenn Robinson III, Marco Jaric, the disrespect of a 3-year starting guard for the Wolves, Ramon Sessions, Andre Miller, Kevin Ollie, Jarrett Culver, Anthony Bennett, Indy Eby, Bobby Jackson, Johnny Flynn, Chris Dunn, Sebastian Telfair. Those are your honorable mentions.
That is That might be a better list than the top 100. I mean, Andrew has Kelvin Booth on there, who I believe, according to the table, played one game. Is that how I'm looking at it? But yeah, like
Jordan Hill did not start. Played 1 minute, apparently.
Lance Stevenson had that. I think he was on 210 days. Yeah. Tayshaun Prince. If I go back and I'm going to look at this list, Phil, for way too long after we're done recording. Tayshaun Prince might make the top 100. He kind of had a nice little stint. I mean, he only played one season. But the longest tenured guy on that list that played the most games, I think, is Marco Yarich, who played 220 games. So just a fat, I mean, just an absolute. If there was one of those situations where you had like a 30-year reunion, or you just kind of brought all the alumni, like when Glenn Taylor says his goodbye and everyone's like, Glenn, you're one of the best owners ever, and everyone comes to celebrate him, you could have Quincy Lewis and Ramon Sessions and Mo Williams all just chatting it up. What a franchise. God. Flagrant Howls.
That's a wrap. Timberwolves Lifestyle Podcast in the most flagrant way, I guess, for this episode. He's Kyle. I'm Phil. Please give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple, and click the subscribe button on the Score North.